conversation with God. How do I have a conversation with God? I can only tell you the way I do it. Everyone can handle it differently, of course, and everyone does, because everyone is unique. But when I have a conversation with God, the divine in me, I continually remind myself that it's me that I'm having a conversation with. Since I'm God and I'm having a conversation with God, I'm having a conversation with myself. And in having a conversation with myself, I sort of ask myself questions like why I'm not doing the things that I know that I can do, why I'm not being the things that I know that I can be, and why I'm playing this game of dualism in my life, much like the conversation I have with God is dualism. And these are some of the answers that I got. I start out my conversation in a very plebeian, prosaic way of saying, "Hi God, how are you doing?" And the divine in me says, "Just fine." And I say, "God, I realize I'm talking to myself, but perhaps I'll dig into the where and the whys a little better by talking to myself than I would if I thought I was talking to a God outside of myself." Well, that sounds pretty logical, Herb. You realize that logic is not my forte. Logic is not the forte of the divine. All just is, so there's nothing to be logical about, to become, or to reveal, or to express. All just already is. Yes, God, I know that. But it appears as though all is not already done. What do you mean, Herb? Well, when I have an irritation with a neighbor, that irritation is a very real thing, and the neighbor is a very real anger with me, and I have an anger with him, and we are just building that thing up to be something terrible. Yes? Yes? So what? God says, so what is it that you are saying by saying this? Well, I'm saying that this is not a godly way of approaching something. This is not a godly way of doing something. Well, yes, it is, Herb. It's exactly a godly way of doing something. The only difference is that the godly way of doing it is that each of you are having your way of expressing something, and the ungodly way, if you can say such a thing exists, the ungodly way is when you begin to judge one another as to the things you're doing. When you begin to no longer be unconditionally loving with your neighbor, you begin acting toward your neighbor like you would like to be God for him, that you'd like to rule his life, instead of saying, "My neighbor is God and I am God, and I live in my own presence and he lives in his, and my presence is good and very good." God, that sounds so simple. Yes, Herb, that is very simple. The difficult part of that is to remember it at a time when it's most propitious to remember it. Now, do you remember that when you are in the middle of having an intense discussion with somebody and you're seemingly disagreeing with one another? Well, that's kind of hard to remember, God. That's kind of hard to remember that because I get so tied up on what I'm saying. Well, think about it. Think about what is one of the areas where you, humanity, get most uptight about. Well, I guess religion is what we get most uptight about. Yes, that's true. That's true. Because everyone has a different interpretation of religion. Why is that, God? Now, you ask me a question that you know the answer to. You know better than that. You answer why it is. Why is it that the problem area in people's discussions is when they talk about religion? Well, I guess Religion is something you cannot define. It is something you cannot say that it is one way or another. You just have an opinion about it. You have an understanding about it. You have a faith or belief in it. You call yourself one religion or another, and then you try to stand by that religion, even though it doesn't make sense in someone else's life and somebody else's mind. Well, you're getting closer. Keep going. Okay. Religion is one man's opinion of his divine self. Well, that's about as accurate as you could get. Religion is one man's opinion about his divine self. Now, being one man's opinion, is that bad? No. Being one man's opinion about your divine self, is that bad? No. Where does it become a problem? Well, God, it becomes a problem when all people don't believe alike. Different people have different beliefs, and they don't believe the way I believe. Oh, that's really interesting, Herb. Why should everyone believe the way you believe? Well, because it's the truth. I only think the truth. Well, Herb, that may or may not be the truth. What is true for you may not be true for another, because everyone must find their place on the spectrum of understanding and knowledge in spiritual things by themselves. If you ever have the answer for another man and his spiritual growth or his problems, then what you're doing, you're taking away his privilege of being himself. You're taking away his privilege of coming to conclusions by himself. Just like if you would carry a child and never let it walk, the child would never learn how to walk. If you acted as though the child had no intelligence, the child will never have any intelligence. They'll always depend on you. If you want to get the best out of everybody and out of everything in life, then allow each person to think whatever they wish, and you know whatever you wish, and you know whatever you know, and just be in your knowledge. But don't make a comparison between what they think and what you think. Well, God, that doesn't make much of a conversation. Well, Herb, talking about a subject that brings unhappiness to two people is not a worthy conversation, is it? It's not something you want to do. Why is it that, Herb, you're not listening to me. I'm talking to you. Herb? Why is it that you are not interested in other people's religion? But I am. No, you're not. You are casually interested in other people's religion merely to say that you know about it and have read it. But have you understood the depth of the reasons that people believe what they believe? Well, God, that's beyond me, I guess. Oh, it is? Are you God? Is there anything beyond you? You expect me as God to say something beyond my belief or my understanding? It'd be silly of me to do that, wouldn't it? Yeah, but you're God. Well, so are you. So are you. I know it, and you have yet to find it out. And as you know it for yourself, then you will be like me. You'll just create for the joy of creating without one single thought of how anybody should use themselves as you have created them. Now, as God and as the Creator, I create everyone with everything in them. All of the systems that they need to operate, all the computer systems, all the wonderful applications that they need to get the most out of their work, their life, and their being. All those things I've already put into them. They may not know where they are, how to find them, because they really don't spend much time in their own inner self listening within. But when they spend any time listening within, they get revelations and they say, wow, I didn't realize that. Wow, hey, that's great. But it's always been there, and it was always there to to be used and enjoyed and to be partaken of. But God, why must you hide it in secret? Why must you hide the things on how to live our life and how to do all these things that you talk about? Why must you hide that in us? Herb, I don't hide that in you. I don't hide that in you. It is in you. You are like a pocket or a file cabinet, and that information's within you. And all you have to do is open the file cabinet and pick out what you want to read, or read it all, and you're in. You know, Herb, it amuses me as God that people buy beautiful equipment. They buy computers and cameras, and they buy all sorts of gadgets that they use in their office and in their kitchen and in their house. And each gadget comes either online or with an instruction manual, a user's instruction manual. And on the front page of the manual is always printed, "For those who cannot take time to read the manual, here's how to get started quickly and get into business using this software." Now, most people read the get started quick part. And they get started quick, and then they use their computer, and they're only using a teensy-weensy little bit of its capacity, because that's all they're aware of. And then they go into the manual, and they say, "I'm going to set aside a full day and read the manual from cover to cover several times." So they begin reading the manual from cover to cover. And then they see there's a computer program that allows them to learn how to do it by seeing it done on the computer itself. And so they go to that, and they watch that, and they say, "Oh, that's interesting." But again, they're only learning one or two aspects. And then they go back and read, and then they come to another part where they read how to do it, and they have the computer have the demonstration built into it, and they see that. And they go back and forth. Well, the day is over, and they're only about a third of the way through the manual. They haven't gotten to the really good stuff. They've only gotten to the fundamental things of how to make it work. And that in itself is exciting, so terribly exciting. And then another couple of days go by with diligence, and they read the entire manual and learn of all the wonderful magic that's in that wonderful computer and what it can do and how to make it do that. Then the next day they open their computer and they put to practice some of the things they've learned, and they find that it doesn't work. It doesn't work because they did not learn it consecutively and put it into practice consecutively. Because each thing needs the other to dwell upon it. You need to turn the computer on to work the computer. Well, if you don't know how to turn the computer on, you're out of business. You need to know how to start up. You have to know what programs you want to start up so that they're there for you to use, or you'll have to put them in each time. And on and on. The system of working on a computer, the manual for it, is very definite, very much there. And Herb, the system for being a divine being, for being God, is in you. It's already there. It's a software system that is part of your nature, being God. And also, the manual to operate that system is there. It's one of the most beautiful, clear, perfect manuals ever to be described, and one of the least used manuals of all the manuals on the face of the earth. And I say it's the least used because every time you open the manual on how to use the computer or how to be your divine self, the presentation is so simple and so dynamic and so beneficial. You think, why didn't I pay more attention? And so immediately you start trying to roar through the rest of it because you think it's all going to be that simple. Well, it's not going to be simple primarily because you were just learning the basics. Now you go back and you do the basics again and again and again. Maybe three or four times you do the basics. until you make the basics yours. You make them fundamentally yours. And then you go on step by step through the rest of it. It isn't taken, done in an instant. It can be. But it's done as you absorb it and realize it. Being a master, being divine, being God, that's the same thing. Well, God, that sounds like a lot of work. Yes, it does sound like a lot of work. But when you give children a game and they do not learn the rules of the game is useless to them. When you have a beautiful car and you do not learn how to drive the car effectively, affirmatively, you do not enjoy driving the car. It's true for anything. If someone reads you some poetry and you listen to the poetry and you think, my, how beautiful, and then there's a few words in there you don't understand, and so you say, gee, that's complex. And you take those few words and you look them up in the dictionary, and you find the words mean simple little things, but the words the author felt were kind of magical and kind of charming, so the author put them in there. But if you hadn't looked them up, you wouldn't realize that the words were very simple. You wouldn't realize that you do know everything. And you felt you knew what the words meant, but you weren't sure. So with that uncertainty, you had to look it up. This is how we are in our life. This is how we are in our world. This is what goes on. Well, God, that sounds okay, but do I have to go through all that rigorous training? No. Any person, any divine being, any God, if you will take a moment and train yourself to say, I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows everything. I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows everything. I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows everything. If you train yourself to say that, until that becomes your new foundation, then no matter what it is that faces you, you know it. No matter what it is that you are going to work on, you already know exactly what to do. Well, Herb, that sounds nice. That sounds really easy. No, that's not nice. Because what it means is all of the old habits where you say, I don't know, that goes. And that has become an old friend of yours. I don't know. I don't understand. There are things I don't know. And when you say those things, you make yourself not know it. And when you say, this is difficult, then you make it difficult. When you say, only a genius could understand that, then you forget that you're a genius, but yes, a genius can understand it very well. What is it that you want out of life, Herb? What is it that you want? You're talking to me right now, telling me of your divine program plan for yourself. Well, what do you really want? In your conversation with God, you listen carefully. You ask intelligent questions. You think beautiful thoughts. And then you let the divine reveal them in and through you. And that's what God is doing with Herb right now. Okay? Well, Herb, when you stop and say, I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer for anything, then that knowledge is known to you right now. That awareness is revealed to you right now. That fullness is manifest in your life right now. And you are fulfilled in every beautiful, wonderful way. Everything is yours right now. Everything is fantastic for you right now. What is it that you would like to be aware of? Do you want to know how to operate your computer of your divine beingness? Do you want to know how to be one with each of your creation? Do you want to be the ideal God of all? Do you want to be the ideal being that you can be? Do you want to live in your perfect self, in your perfect beingness? what he was, Herb? What is it that would turn you on? Well, what would turn me on the most, if I understood it, would be to say, I am God, I am the All, and I love it. Wow. You're a little further along than I thought you were, Herb. That's great. I am God, I am the All, and I love it. I know who I am. Wow. Do you realize what you've just said there? You have just said you are no longer interested in being a human being. You're no longer interested in human interaction. You're no longer interested in the problems of a human world. You are untouched by all those things. You are now unconditional love of all things, just the way they are in their beautiful form and shape. And you are divine. Yes, you are divine. You are the revelation of all that is beautiful and good. You are the fulfillment of all that's beautiful and good. Did you know that? Well, God, you make it sound kind of enchanting, kind of desirable. Well, Herb, it is desirable. I am God in you as you speaking to you, and you are God in you as you listening to you speak to you. Now, as you do that, what benefit's going to come from it? The benefit is, number one, I will never look outside of myself again for the fulfillment of who I am inside myself. Well, if that's true, Herb, you will have done a major step in your journey through this life that you've chosen to live. Great, great, great. Okay. Now, what's another aspect? Another aspect is I will think my thought, and I will know that my thought is instantly revealed in my world. Great. Now, what's the next step? The next step is every thought I think is a glorious thought. Every thought I think is an uplifting thought. Every thought I think is a fantastic thought, a thought that respects and reflects all of the goodness that I am. Oh, that's pretty good, Herb. That's pretty wonderful. And it's certainly very true. Now, are you ready to live that aspect of yourself? Are you ready to live that thought of yourself? Are you ready to be that of who you are right now? Are you ready? Or are you going to go around saying other people are the fault or the cause of the situations in your life? Other people are the ones who caused you not to think, not to act, not to live all that you can. Well, God, I just told you, I don't intend to do that anymore. Oh? Then why did you respond to what I said to you? Why did you do that? If you don't intend to do it anymore, and someone says to you, why are you doing it? And you respond to them, then you are doing it. Well, God, that's not right. I said I'm not doing it. No. If you truly are not doing it, should a person ever ask you why you're still doing it, you will not respond to that question, because there is no answer you can give, because you are not doing it. But if you are doing it, then you respond saying you're not doing it or you're doing it, all of which means that you're doing it. Well, God, that's not good. That's kind of tough. Well, yes, it is, Herb. It's very tough. It's just the way things are in consciousness, just the way things are in mind. Mind does not allow for dualism of any kind. Mind does not allow for any thought which has two meanings, any thought which is two-directed, any thought which will keep you in confusion. The mind does not allow for that, because the mind makes understanding out of each of the aspects that would give you confusion. And then you have a confusion of knowing which one is the right one, because now you have given both of them permission to be in your brain, and both of them permission to think that they're the right one to be there. Well, God, that sounds like a never-ending journey of being on top of yourself, not to let those things into your consciousness. Why do you say that, Herb? Well, If you let those things in your consciousness, then you're back to square one. No, Herb, you're not back to square one. You're back to square zero. You haven't even begun. When you have confusion, when you have dualism in your life, you're nowhere, and you're going nowhere fast. When you at least have a conviction, even a negative one, at least you're going backwards fast. Now, what is it that you want out of life? What is it that you want in talking to me? Because here I am, your divine self, and you're talking to your divine self, and you're pretending that your divine self has more of a perceptive ability to do the things that you want to do than you do, which is not true, because you know as much as your divine self knows. You have not accepted that fact. And when you accept that fact, then you'll act like that, and you'll be all that your divine self is. Well, golly, if I were all that my divine self is, I would be done with this life experience. Herb, you will never be done with this life experience. You will always be having this life experience for a millennia of millennias. You will always be having this life experience. And you'll have this life experience because you say, I will always be having this life experience. You name it, you proclaim it, you put it in your consciousness. Now, what is it that you'd like to do, Herb? What would you really like to do with your life? Well, I'd like to live in peace and harmony in my thought. Well, that's a good start. I'd like to live in peace and harmony in my thought. I'd like to live with joy for my neighbors, my fellow man. I'd like to be able to see into each of my creation, that I call my fellow man sometimes, but each of my creation, the genius that I am. I'd like to see in all of my creation every good and beautiful aspect of my being, which I am, and more in that direction. Well, Herb, you kept it pretty positive, and that's good. You kept it one-pointed, and that's good. Now, you say you would like them. And when you say you would like them, you're saying, I don't have them. And when you say, I don't have them, then, of course, you never will have them. Well, God, that's not fair. I was talking to you like I talk to a practitioner. I give them my problem, and they help me with the solution. Yeah. And that's why people have problems, because they don't know how to talk to practitioners. You talk to a practitioner, and you tell the practitioner your solution. You never dwell upon the problem. You never dwell upon the things that you're trying to overcome. Because if you dwell upon them, you give them more power, and they continue to be merely by talking about them, even though you're saying you don't want them. So what you say to a practitioner is, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And the practitioner says, and what would you like? And you say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And the practitioner says, well, why did you call me? What do you want me to do with you? And you say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And the practitioner says to you, wonderful. You passed the test. I tried to dissuade you from thinking as you should when you approach a practitioner, and you were not to be dissuaded. You were firm and confident in the knowledge of how you should approach your practitioner and how you should approach life's opportunities to be approached. Well, great. I'm glad about that. But now, this you want to do every time. Every time you talk to a practitioner, you want to say first what your solution is and let the practitioner work with you on your solution and leave the problem alone and let it be like it never was. Because in truth, it never was. But it was a figment of your imagination that grew so big it became something quite real. We can see this demonstrated in our families oftentimes. we see them building up a case, building up a problem. She doesn't love me. She doesn't care about me. She doesn't want me. She's a terrible lady. I don't know why I bother going out with her. She's terrible. And your mother says, sweetheart, if you were to say, she is wonderful, she is beautiful, she is glorious, you'll find that she is that way. But Mom, she isn't. As you say that she's beautiful, she's wonderful, she's glorious, you'll find her that way. But Mom, she's not beautiful, she's not glorious, she's not wonderful. All right, son, why do you go out with her? Because I wish she were beautiful, glorious, and wonderful. Well, why don't you claim that she is beautiful, glorious, and wonderful, and you will see that all of a sudden your eyes will clear, and you'll see how beautiful and wonderful and glorious she always has been. Oh, Mom, you and your positive thinking, why do you do that to me? Well, son, if you just look at life through the glasses, through the eyes of wisdom, through the eyes of peace and love and joy, instead of finding problems there, you'll find all the solutions that always evaded you throughout life, because your previous program had been to challenge them, and your new program is to claim they are done now for you in every way. Okay, Mom, whatever you say. She's beautiful, glorious, wonderful. She's beautiful, glorious, wonderful. She's beautiful, glorious, wonderful. She's beautiful, glorious, wonderful. And the days go by, and you make this statement about your lady friend. And then you go back and visit her again. And you treat her like a person who is beautiful, wonderful, and glorious. And you bring her flowers. And you say, to my beautiful, wonderful, glorious being, no more. And she says, oh, wow. And then you go back another time, you say, well, how is my beautiful, wonderful, glorious being? And she'll say, beautiful, wonderful, and glorious. And you know, you will now see her beautiful, wonderful, glorious. You will now see her as that dramatically glorious being that you wanted to see her as all along. We are the creator of our world. Everything we put into our consciousness, we demonstrate. Well, God, that's going contrary to the appearance, contrary to the illusion. That's right, Herb. Life is meant to go contrary to the illusion so that you realize that the illusion is not life. But what is life is what's in you, what you are, how beautiful you are, how fantastic you are. And when you realize that, you'll stop trying to make life into the sad thing that you've been making life into all these years. You will only look at life and say, it is beautiful, wonderful, glorious. Now, as each one of us, as we say these things, we put a cause in motion for the beautiful, wonderful, glorious beings that we are. And as we put this cause in motion, we experience a life of wholeness, a life of happiness, a life of fulfillment that is unbelievable. It's a life that sets us up for some experiences that we could never have dreamed possible. Experiences that make us feel we are the greatest beings on the face of the earth. Well, God, that's fantastic, but wow, how do I practice? You practice by being still, listening to your inner self, and say, okay, inner self, go. And the inner self will go. The inner self is not against you. The inner self is eager to go. So now, for a few minutes, let's each one of us speak to our inner self and let our inner self tell us what it is that we want to accomplish. You could tell your inner self if you wish, but let your inner self tell you how to go about accomplishing what you want. That you see the illusion of truth that you want, not the illusion which may be truth, the illusion which is not what you want. So now let's take a few moments and think about these things lovingly, powerfully, beautifully, and watch what happens. The most wonderful thing that any of us ever can do is to go into meditation and find there the solution to all the desires of our heart. Go into meditation and find the solution to all the desires of your heart. And as you do that, every doorway opens up for you. Every doorway gives you the solution and the result of anything you choose to have. It's simple, beautiful, definite, and it's done. We've had experiences now in our 3-hour meditation of first claiming, "I am God, God I am." And next we say, "Why can I say I am God?" And whatever convictions, conclusions come to our consciousness, we can get them from meditation too. Whatever reason we can confidently say why I am God, then we can move on to the next step and become one as our inner self and talk as one as our inner self in that quietness, in that peace, in that inner sanctuary. And as we do that, we will come up with the result of anything that is important to us, no matter what it is. The solution will be there. We will know it. There will be no doubt about it. There will be no feeling that it cannot happen. There will be no feeling that it will not work. It will be in perfect order. And as it is in perfect order, then for us, we are in true paradise. We are in bliss. And also for us will come the conviction of who we are, and we will walk forth confidently. We'll walk forth with pride in ourselves and awareness of the divine that we are. And we will just stand there in our world and stand up to be counted for our own beautiful thoughts, our own beautiful convictions, our own beautiful selves. So enjoy these things as you will. And if you ever have any questions about these things, look them up for the answer inside of you. For that's the best place to find the answer, and that's the best answer to find. For if you look it up with anybody else, if you go to any other source of teacher or friend or wise being, all they can do is tell you about their journey within, and it is not yours. Yours will be magical in ways that only you can describe. Yours will be fulfilling in ways only you can describe. You are the allness. You are the isness. And so it is.